Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just honor you today. We thank you for your glory in the house. Thank you for your manifold presence. Thank you for what you have done already. Thank you for what you are going to do in this meeting. Lord, I ask that the heavens be open. Let the heavens be open. Let the heavens be open. Let the heavens be open. Lord, release your glory in the house. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you will speak to the life of somebody. In the name of Jesus, let satanic bondage be broken. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Anoint your word. Anoint your word this morning. In the name of Jesus. Let it bring life. Let it bring encouragement. Let it bring refreshing. Let it bring renewal. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, this morning I'm moving to a different topic. Thank God for what we've been doing for the past 6 weeks. But today we want to begin to look at a different topic. And I've called it being filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Being filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we want to look at what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. Being filled with the Spirit. And want to take our bearing from the book of Luke chapter 24. Hallelujah. Luke 24. I read from verse 44. Hallelujah. If you are there with me, say amen. Okay. Now the Bible says Jesus was speaking to the disciples. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the psalm concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Verse 49, that's where I want to key on. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. Now let's go to the book of Acts chapter 1. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be God forevermore. Acts chapter 1, I read from verse 4 to 8. Barabogo shatali brodo bogosa. Now the Bible says once he was, I'm reading for the New Living Translation here. It says once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem. Listen to this very well. Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Verse 7. He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. Verse 8. That's why I want to key on again. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. Blessed be God forevermore. Now, this morning, we want to begin to look at what I've called, being filled with the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit into your life. I know many of us sitting here today will say, yes, I received the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues, and that's it. It is beyond that. People, just follow me closely. Amen. Now, Jesus, the Bible says, began to talk to his disciples, and he said something to them. He said he had given them a commission. He had told them that you are going to preach in my name. You are going to declare my word. You are going to preach the remission of sin. You are going to go about and declare from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. But he said in Luke where we read, he said to them, he said, listen to me, don't do it yet. Wait. Now, I'm sure many of us would think the best thing to do is just run about and start doing it. But Jesus said, no, don't do it yet. Wait. Wait for what? He says, wait for the promise of the Father. He says, wait until you receive the power to be able to do it. He says, wait until you are endued with power from on high. Then we looked at the book of Acts, and in Acts again, he began to say to them, he said, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the gift that the Father promised you. Which gift? The gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He says you should wait until you receive it. Now the disciples were talking about too many things, but he brought them back in verse 8. He said to them, say, listen, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He says, and when you receive this power, you will become witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the world, unto the uttermost part of the earth. He says, but before anything, just wait for this power. You need to wait to receive the power first before you do anything. Now, you might wonder, why did Jesus ask them to wait? Now, Jesus knows that when it comes to the things of God, you can't do it without the Holy Spirit. When it comes to walking with God, except you have the power of the Holy Spirit, you can't do it. Now, you can't walk the kingdom of God with human wisdom. You can't walk the kingdom of God with human power. There is something called the power of the Holy Spirit. There is something called being endued, being filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. And Jesus was trying to explain this to them. And he said to them, he said, wait until you are endued with power from on high. Until you receive that power to do what you are called to do. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be God. You see, the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, who if you can be fast, it will help me, 4, verse 19, from verse 19 and 20. The Bible began to talk. Paul was speaking, and Paul was saying that, I know there are some of you that are puffed up. There are some of you that are proud, okay? But he now said, I'm coming to you because the kingdom of God is not in words. Is in power. Hallelujah. He said the kingdom of God. Let's read. He said, but I'll come to you very soon if the Lord's willing. And then I will find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. Verse 20 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. That is why Jesus said, wait until you receive the power. The kingdom of God, you see, we cannot operate the kingdom of God and somebody doesn't get healed of sickness. You can't operate the kingdom of God and somebody that is possessed cannot be delivered from demonic oppression. You can't operate the kingdom of God and you don't see the demonstration of the power of God. That's why Jesus said to them, you have to wait for the power. He says it's not all talk, talk, talk. It is the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me read that for you as well. Establishing why Jesus was saying to them, wait. Hallelujah. Wait for the power of the Holy Ghost. You see, sometimes people operate and they don't know that they need the power of the Holy Ghost. They don't know that, they don't understand that you need to be filled with the Spirit to operate. Jesus knew how important it was and he told the disciples, don't operate without it. Wait. Let me tell you, if it means that you need to sit down for a while, doing nothing, he said, just do that for a while until you receive the power. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians, hallelujah, chapter 2. Yeah, can I have it there from verse 1? Hallelujah. Now, this is what Paul was saying to the people of Corinth, the church in Corinth. He said something to them. He said, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I have proclaimed to you the testimonies about God. Now, he said, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Go ahead. He says, I came to you in weakness and in fear and with much trembling. Continue. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. Verse 5, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on the power of God. Hallelujah. He says, so that your faith will not rest on man's wisdom, but on the power of God. You see, there is something about Christianity is different from any religion you can think of. For what reason? It is based on the power of God. It tells us from the beginning, Jesus was born of a virgin. How can he be born of a virgin? The power of God. It tells us that, you know, Jesus raised the dead. How is it possible? The power of God. Christianity is the religion where you can believe for the impossible. You see, if you are born again and you are a child of God, you should be able to believe to see if somebody is sick of cancer, let that person be healed. Why? By the power of God that you carry. You should be able to believe, if they say there is tumor, you should be able to go there and say in the name of Jesus, tumor, come out in Jesus' name. If somebody is oppressed by demonic powers, you should be able to go there and say, you devil, I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. Why? It is by the power of God. Christianity is not much of talk. It's more of the power of God. Seeing the power of God in demonstration. And that is why I love to see God's power in display. In fact, my faith is based on the power of God. It's not about too much talk. Amen. Hallelujah. I love to preach. I love to work, but I love the power of God. I love to hear somebody was healed of cancer. I love to hear that somebody that couldn't see, they begin to see. I love to hear God showing his demonstration of power. So Jesus said to them, "Say, don't do this ministry without power. Don't do it until you receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Don't do it except you have the power of God in your life. Don't do it until you can demonstrate that power. Receive the power of God in your life. And let me tell you people, I'm not talking about being a pastor, okay? I'm not talking about pastors receiving power. I'm talking about you. The Bible says he was talking to the disciples. He was talking to all of them. It is the power that you can receive in your life. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 10 verse 38, he says, our God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, Jesus knew that the only success in his ministry, or why he was able to do what he did, was the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. So he said to the disciples, wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Prepare your heart to receive him. He says, wait, it's a promise God has given to you, but you must wait to receive him. Hallelujah. You see, there is something about when you give your life to Christ. When you give your life to Christ, you are not yet filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible teaches. When you give your life to Christ, when you are born again, you've accepted Jesus, you have not received the Holy Spirit. I know there maybe some people will tell you that you've received the Holy Spirit once you are born again. But Jesus did not teach it that way. I will show you from Scripture. You can be born again, receive Jesus, but not have the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Let me show you in your Bible. Go to the book of Acts chapter 19. Because you know, sometimes we can be born again and we think that's all you need to know about God. I'm born again and that's it. I've received God and that's it. No, it goes beyond being born again. Jesus was talking to disciples that have already accepted him. And he was saying to them, listen, you need to wait to receive this power into your life. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 19 verse 1. Now look at what the Bible says. It says, while Apollo was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior, arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples. Now, when you see the word disciples, it means they believe. Okay? When he says disciples, it means that people that believe in Jesus. They've already believed. Okay? Now, and he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So it means you can believe and don't receive the Holy Spirit. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Now, there are people that have not heard anything about the Holy Spirit. There are people that don't know that the Holy Spirit operates. They don't know. You know, sometimes when we begin to pray and we begin to pray in tongues, some people wonder, what are you doing? Because they don't know about the Holy Spirit. Verse 3. So Paul asked them, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they reply. Continue. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hand on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Now, what's happening here? These were disciples. That's what the Bible called them. People that have already believed. But the Bible says, Paul went to them and asked them, said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, we don't even know what you are talking about. Well, for some of us here, we do. We know about speaking in tongues. We know about receiving. We've heard about Spirit, the Holy Spirit and all that. We know. But it's not just about knowing it. It's about experiencing it. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's about becoming a partaker of the gift of God. And Paul began to tell them what they need to understand about the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says he prayed for them, laid his hand upon them, and they were now filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues and to prophesy. Look at the book of Acts, chapter 8. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 8. Let's look from verse 14. Acts 8, 14. Hallelujah. I just want to show you that because you are born again, it's not enough that you've received the Holy Spirit. And people, I'm also going to tell you that the Holy Spirit is beyond speaking in tongues. Let's finish with this. The Bible says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Let me stop there. Now the Bible is telling us here that in Samaria, the people believed. The apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people in Samaria that received the gospel, they now believed in Jesus. So they sent Peter and John to them. When they got there, the Bible says, although these people believe, none of them has received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not come upon any one of them, but they believed. Hallelujah. Now the Bible says, Peter began to lay hands on them that the Holy Spirit will come upon them. Why? Because it is different for you to be born again and it is different for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now let me go further here. Now, because you speak in tongues does not mean that you are still filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Okay, I know that is going to make some of you feel uncomfortable because you already speak in tongues. Amen. When I say being filled with the Holy Spirit is beyond speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Speaking in tongues is an evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you something. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit today. Okay? And in 2 months' time, you are empty, but you still speak in tongues. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I'm going to explain it then. I see somebody saying no. Praise the Lord. When you speak in tongues, it doesn't mean, let me tell you something about being filled with the Holy Spirit. When a man receives the Holy Spirit, and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, one of the evidence that you have received the Holy Spirit is that you begin to pray in tongues. Okay, you pray in an unknown tongues, and you pray in tongues, you believe. Now, let me tell you, when I say pray in tongues, it's not those ones that they teach you what to say. That's not the Holy Spirit. Not where you go and they tell you, say mama, then say papa. Then say mama, papa. Then say it both together, mama, papa, mama, papa, mama. Say it faster, faster, mama, papa, mama, papa, papa, papa. That's not what I'm talking about. Those are jokes, okay? When you receive the Holy Spirit, He comes on you. You receive Him, He comes on you and gives you the ability. Your vocal cord will be released. And you begin to find yourself speaking in unknown tongues. Okay? So it is different. I'm not talking about, okay, come here and line up now. Let's start. I'm going to pray for you. Now everybody say mama. Everybody say papa. Put both together. Mama, papa. Because they do it in some places. They're rubbish. They do it in some places. That is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when it comes upon you, you know you receive the Holy Spirit. How many of you have been filled with the Spirit? You pray in tongues. How did it come upon you? Was it somebody that taught you? If it's somebody that taught you, you better start asking God again. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. But what I'm saying is this. When you get born again and you receive the Spirit, like what we are saying, and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the power of God comes upon you, and you begin to pray in an unknown tongues. Now, you can begin to pray in an unknown tongue, but there's something that happens. It's like, you know, every day that you begin to encounter the world, you are using up what you have received. And if you are not careful, after a while, you might become empty. But the tongues will not leave. Do you understand what I'm saying? The tongues is a language you have received, but the tongues is not the Spirit. Tongues is not the Holy Spirit. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit is the power of God. It's God's power in us. Okay? So when you speak in tongues, tongues is not the Spirit, but tongues shows, it demonstrates physically that you have received the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit can leave and you still speak in tongues. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Follow me closely. In the book of Acts chapter 2, the Bible began to say about the early disciples. Maybe we'll get there when I want to show you how it happened the first time. Okay, the Bible says, this is what happened to the disciples. They were all together, they were praying, and suddenly there was a sound like of a rushing mighty wind. The Bible says it filled the whole place where they were seated. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay? They were all filled with the Spirit. Acts chapter 2. Let's read it. I think it's better to read it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Any Christianity without the power of God is just talk. That's what the Bible says. And the kingdom of God is not in talk. It's in the power of God. Hallelujah. That's why we have hope. So we're not afraid when they say, okay, oh, doctor tell you we are concerned. You know that there's somewhere that there is power. You are not careful about what the doctor says. You don't care what the economy is crumbling. You have the power of God inside of you. Hallelujah. Now look at what the Bible says. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enables them. Look at this. The Bible says they were all filled with the Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues. Okay? They were filled here. Now, go to chapter 4. The same Acts chapter 4. Hallelujah. Let me just read one verse so that we can get somewhere today. Look at verse 4. Talking about the disciples again, the same people. It says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, this is where I want to explain something to you. In chapter 2, the Bible said they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, between chapter 2 and chapter 4, if you read it, a lot of things happened. They had prayed for a lame man to walk. The lame man began to walk. They had been beaten. They have preached. 3,000 souls have repented. And a lot of things were happening. Then in chapter 4, the Bible is telling us that they prayed again and they were filled with the Spirit. Now, if they were filled in chapter 2 and in chapter 4, they were praying again to be filled, it means that they were not as filled as they were in chapter 2. Is somebody following me? It means that between chapter 2 and chapter 4, something has happened. That is why, for example, as a pastor, let's look at it. Even as a pastor, for example, and I come here and I preach every day. I preach every day. I pray for you. I cast out devils. I do every kind of thing here. Now, if I don't go back and get filled again, one day when I come, I will be empty. So when I open my mouth, I will say, did you see what Sky News said yesterday? They will begin to discuss Sky News. Because there's nothing else to say. Why? You are empty now. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Now, because you are born again and you've been praying in the Holy Ghost and you know you've experienced speaking in tongues, doesn't mean you are still filled. And that is why you see, you can even tell in your own life when you are going down. You know what I'm talking about. You can tell. You just know that I'm feeling empty. I'm using up what I have. I'm using up. Why? Because you are not as filled as you used to be. So saying that you speak in tongues today doesn't mean that you are still filled with the Holy Spirit. But the tongues is still there. The tongues is just the language you have received. Hallelujah. Now the Bible tells us about Jesus, okay? In Mark chapter 1, from verse 33 to 37. The Bible tells us that when the evening came, he began to pray for a lot of sick people. He spent his time praying for them, casting out devils. Now, look at verse 37. Before I get there. But let me read 34 and 35. It says, And Jesus healed many who had various disease. He also drove out many demons. But he would not let them, the demons speak because they knew who he was. Verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he was prayed. Now look at this. The day before, he has spent his time healing the sick, casting out devils, doing all kinds of things. He understood that he has used up what he had. So very early, before the people will start coming again, very early in the morning, he had gone to a very quiet place where nobody was going to disturb him to begin to do what? Pray. Why was he praying? To be filled with the same power. So when he comes back the next day, it's going to still be the demonstration of power. In Matthew chapter 14, the Bible tells us that Jesus fed 5,000 people. After he did that miracle, the Bible says he sent the disciples away and sent the multitude away. But he remained on the mountaintop to do what? To pray. So Jesus understood how important it is. Let me tell you, there was a time Jesus was walking. There was a woman with the issue of blood. Many of us know the story. And while he was walking, this woman said, if I can touch him, I will be healed. And the Bible said the woman came and the woman touched him. The hem of his garment. When the woman touched Jesus, the Bible said he stopped. And he said, who touched me? Somebody has touched me. And they were like, oh, Jesus, you can be funny. Look at the crowd of people here. All of them are touching you. I said, somebody touched you. Obviously, somebody touched you. Then Jesus said, no, I know what I'm talking. He said, because power has left me. He knew that there was a withdrawal that just took place. Something left him. He knew it wasn't the same. Then the lady came and said, I was the one. What was Jesus saying? When you have the power of God and you heal somebody, something leaves you. You need to go back and pray. That is why there are believers today that are empty. Look at your life. You can't evangelize anymore. You are empty. You used to preach, but you can't preach anymore. Why? You are empty. You still speak in tongues, but you are empty. You can't tell anybody about Jesus. Where is the fire you used to tell them? It's gone now. You are like being poured cold water on. You are empty now. Before, when you hear anything, your faith will come and say, oh, no, in the name of Jesus, I refuse that. But now when you hear it, say, oh, my father, what will I do now? Why? Because you are empty. So Jesus was saying the kingdom of God has to be done by the power of God. So you need to wait to receive that power into your life. For every one of us in this room today, whether you are speaking in tongues or you are not speaking in tongues, there is a level of the Holy Spirit that you have right now that you need to increase. You need to be filled again. Now, probably you have never really experienced being filled with the Holy Spirit. You have never in your lifetime spoken in tongues. You don't understand it. Maybe your theology is different. Maybe what your background did not let you understand that there is something called the Holy Spirit. Because you see, sometimes exposure matters. Okay, probably you didn't really know that there is something called the Holy Spirit, receiving him, filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to receive this. You didn't understand it. But you have an opportunity today to begin to ask for it. What I want to do, God helping me, I'm just going to stop briefly now. So we can begin to pray. What do we want to pray for? We want to pray to be filled with the Spirit. We want to be filled with the Spirit. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit. Release your Spirit into our lives. Release your power into our lives. And you've never experienced it before. There is a first time you can be filled. And you see, sometimes some people believe that when you talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak in tongues, it's only for some set of people. It's not for everybody. That's not what the Bible teaches. If you read the book of Acts chapter 2, hallelujah. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible tells us, when Peter began to preach, the people asked him, they said, what shall we do? Then, verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Look at this, verse 39. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. He said the promise of receiving the Holy Spirit is for as many as the Lord our God will call. Everyone that believes in Jesus is qualified to receive the Holy Spirit. All you need to do is believe in Jesus. That's what the Bible says. Repent. Believe in Him for the remission of sin. It says, for the promise is unto you. Your promise is unto you. Not just to you. Say to your children. To as many as are far off. As many as the Lord our God shall call. As God called you today. Are you born again? Have you given your heart to Him? Then it means you are qualified to receive the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You are qualified to receive Him into your life. And we want to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Fill our lives with your Spirit. Let there be a mighty endowment of the Spirit of God upon our lives. It doesn't matter what level you are, you can increase from there. Because every single day you come in contact with the world, you talked with somebody, you watched Sky TV, you did this, you did that, you used up an anointing. Hallelujah. And you might wonder, what is the importance? Why do I need to receive the Holy Spirit? It is very important. I'll tell you why. Number one, when you receive the Holy Spirit, there are areas in your life you have never entered. There are places you have never walked. Things and promises of God that God has for you, that satanic forces has been withdrawing you from entering into. When the Spirit of God comes into your life, they break. By receiving the Holy Spirit, you are launched into another realm. In Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, the Bible puts it this way. It says, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be lifted from off your shoulder, his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. What is the anointing? The Holy Spirit. He says, when you receive the Holy Spirit, that yoke you've been carrying will be destroyed. In fact, another version, I believe the new international version will say, because you have grown fat. He says, because you have grown fat, the body will be lifted from your shoulder, the yoke from your neck, it will be destroyed because you have grown fat. The way I can explain it to you is like this. Let's say you have tied up something like this, okay, with thread or something. It's tied up. So this is the way it has remained. But the thing begins to grow fat. As it grows fat, what happens? The thread begins to lose its grip. And that's what the Bible is saying. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you will be launched into a realm that you have never walked in before. You'll be launched. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit in the book of Isaiah chapter 32, I believe verse 15, the Bible puts it this way. It says, until the wilderness becomes a fruitful field. I think he started by saying, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. You know what he's saying? He says, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, areas in your life that looks like wilderness becomes a fruitful field. Then the one that even looked like a fruitful field will become like a forest. Do you know what he's saying? He's saying that you will be launched into a place of abundance. Why? When the Spirit is poured upon us on high. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God will help you to go to take a step of faith where you have been afraid. Look at the disciples. The Bible said they received the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with what? Boldness. Why? They were afraid before. Some of you, there are things that you are thinking, but fear has not allowed you to do it. But when the Spirit of God comes upon you, He will propel you. Fear will leave. You have the boldness to walk in that direction. And that's why I want to pray for the Holy Spirit. There's only one way you need to receive the Holy Spirit. Pray and ask for Him. Tarry and wait for Him. That's what the Bible says. You pray and you ask God for it. In John 7, the Bible says, Jesus, from verse 37, on the last day of the feast, He stood up and He cried and He said, if any man is thirsty, let him come and drink. As the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The Bible says He was speaking about the Holy Spirit when He was talking. That if any of you want the Holy Spirit, come and take it. Come and take it. He says, if you thirst for Him, come and take it. You just need to have a desire to say, I need this Holy Spirit in my life. I need the Holy Spirit. And as you ask for Him, He comes upon you mightily, like the rivers of water. And as there's a good news about praying for the Holy Spirit. You know, when I got born again, one of the things that I was very careful about when praying with the Holy Spirit, I used to be worried that, how do I know that what I'm speaking is actually the Holy Spirit? What about if it's an evil spirit that's comes when I'm praying for those, an evil spirit just comes. But I realized that God actually answered that question in the Bible, and that's what saved me from that fear. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus began to say to them, I believe from verse 11, He says, which of you, your children will ask for bread, and you give them a stone? Or they ask for a fish, you give them a scorpion? Or ask for egg, a scorpion or fish, and you give them a serpent? He says, if you, being humans, evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Lord give the Holy Ghost to them that ask of Him? So I realized that when I ask for the Holy Spirit, there's only one thing I can receive, the Holy Spirit. So when I open my mouth and the Spirit of God fills me and I began to pray in tongues, I know that I'm praying by the Spirit, not the devil. And that healed that fear from me. And that gave me the confidence to be able to pray to receive the Holy Spirit. And today, we are going to pray. Let's rise up on our feet. We don't have too much time. We just want to use the next few minutes to pray.